Sound the trump in Zion. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Hey there, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. We're going to have a great time. We're talking about end times, major clues from minor prophets. That was Joel you were just listening to. I love Joel. He's talking about us. That is the mighty army. That's you guys. That's us fighting in this battle. Never been anything like it before, or will ever be anything like it in the future, ever again. This is the Battle of Armageddon. That's what it is. I'm Melissa Redpill, and I redpill people all the time, like it or not. So I'm glad you're here, because this is what we have been waiting for thousands of years, to see this day, the end times for them. So yeah, this is the book we're studying. We're on the chapter, the last chapter, Isaiah. It's probably going to take a couple more weeks, because these chapters in the back of Isaiah are so encouraging. I don't want to go too fast. I want you guys to really enjoy it and lap it up, because it's at the end of Isaiah is where it really gets to the good stuff. And so if you're new here, definitely go and check out my website, freedomforce.live, or you can type in melissaredpill.com. Either way, find all the social media, find all the good news about end times, because it's not the scary kind for us. It's the scary kind for them. End times and the thousand years of peace. There's tons of videos over here that you can research, all kinds of good things on, about President Trump, about the biblical astronomy, about the lost tribes of Israel, all the kinds of good things over on the video tab right here, as well as lots of great information about the health. Go to freedomforce.live/health. Go to find all my social media right here. And let's pray before we get started. Don't forget, always hit the like button. Just get this information out, because people are scared. They're hiding under the bed. They need to know the good news of the kingdom. His kingdom come, His will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have revealed all this to us. Thank you for these minor prophets and major prophets, like we're reading today in Isaiah, that you have spoken through them, had them write these things down thousands of years ago for us, for this day, that we would be so encouraged knowing that this is it. Thank you that we hear it, we see it, because of your Spirit working in us, and we're just very, very thankful. And Lord, as you teach us today from your word, we just are just so blessed and thankful that you just speak these things to us and help us to understand it like we never have before. And we're just really, really thankful. And thank you for everyone on the battalion. I pray you continue to bless them and touch their hearts and help us to share this wonderful truth with others so that they can come out from under the bed, touch their hearts so they can really be excited about this beautiful day that is dawning upon us. We praise you and we thank you. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, let's go, people. So here is the book again, and this is the table of contents. We are on chapter 15, Isaiah. So let's go. And if you scroll down, I thought I had it all set up, but that's okay. If you scroll all the way down, watch your eyes. If you scroll all the way down, you will see way down at the bottom, we've gone through all that. If you aren't familiar, we've gone, you go to End Times page on my social, on my Facebook, I'm sorry, on my website, melissaredpill.com, and you can go back and catch up. And what I really encourage you to do is read the book, do the study guide, and before you really watch the videos. That's the way that it'll make sure that you've really learned it, because listening to it is great, but really when you do the homework, that really helps to make sure you've really locked it in. Okay, so here is where we are. We've done a couple of chapters in the book of Isaiah, and now we are on chapter 61, and this is where the question is. Isaiah 61, 1 through 11 is all about our liberation. What is the future for humanity according to these verses? So that's what I want you to listen for as I'm reading these passages. Listen for that to be the answer, to answer that question. What is the future for humanity according to these verses? Okay, so here we are. I'm going to actually pull up the Isaiah 61 on BibleGateway.com because I'm kind of spoiled to the NLT version, but I will compare it to the World English Bible, which is a free one that we can use in our book. Okay, so I'll read it to you in the NLT. This is, of course, what our Lord Jesus recited when he was in his hometown temple. After he had gone around and he was healing people all over, they're like, oh, we want to hear what he has to say. And when he read this, they said, we are going to throw him off of the cliff. Because he was saying that, you know, this day, this passage was fulfilled in their hearing. He was proclaiming that he was the Messiah. And they weren't having it. As the Bible says clearly, that the prophet is not without honor except in his own country. So he was not recognized by those in his own hometown. They'd known him as a kid, and they thought, no way, he's the Messiah. He was the Messiah anyway. And as he told John, remember how John was worried? He's like, I'm in prison. What is going on? How could this be? And he says, are you the Messiah? Should we look for someone else? And of course, our Lord Jesus told him, he says, what do you see? You see the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are being are walking, and the dead are being raised up. What else do you need to see, right? And so it's similar in our day. We're seeing things that we've never seen before. This is a beautiful, amazing day. So we thankfully have the eyes to see it. Very, very thankful for that. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 61. Y'all ready? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Now, I've always kind of made this into like, oh, this is about how it's a spiritual freeing. And no doubt that is a big part of it, right? Big deal if you're set free from a prison cell, but if you're still captive in your spirit and in your heart, so it really doesn't help. And so the Lord sets us free in both. He sets us, he's setting humanity free from the chains of the New World Order, and he's also setting our spirit free, and that's what he does. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. These are God's enemies, but they're also our enemies. And so it says here, we have mourned, and over in the WEB version, over on the right, you see in verse 2, it says, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor. Basically, the Jubilee year, the year of the blessing being poured out. I have a feeling, I mean, if it's not this year, I don't know if it's going to be 2026. It's a matter of you know, it doesn't have to be a specific year. Again, on the on the biblical calendar, that starts on the Feast of Trumpets, which was in October. But it's a period of time where the pouring out of God's Spirit, and I do believe that that's what we are experiencing, is all this truth, and the light of God's truth is shining on all of humanity. We are clearly in a great awakening, no doubt about it. We are so blessed to live in this day. Anyway, so he's saying, proclaim this year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. In other words, he is pouring out vengeance on our enemies. He's going to destroy them, and they will be gone from us. The Bible says they will look for our enemies, and we will not be able to find them. And so this is very, very good news, that this is the day of God's vengeance on our enemies. I'm going to read to you in a minute, Sarah, about the, well, maybe next time, but about the blood of his our enemies is on his robes. I mean, it's very picturesque. Very, very picturesque. Okay, so now verse 3, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty, for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Isn't that lovely? I love that. So imagine that. Instead of all this mourning, we'll have beauty. Instead of all these ashes, instead of the mourning, we'll have festive praise. Instead of, mourning, we'll have a joyous blessing. Instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. Yay, praise the Lord. We've had enough of the mourning. We've had enough of the things being burned down in the ashes. We've had enough of the despair. It's time for beauty and joyous blessing and festive praise. How about that? So yeah, it says here in the other version, it says a garland instead of ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we will be called the trees of righteousness, or the great oaks of righteousness, and that the Lord has planted for his own glory. In the book, The Golden Age, there's a whole chapter on the Golden Age of Righteousness. The Bible says clearly that everyone will be righteous. This is the book I just released. This one is called The Golden Age. And it's a crown not only because our Lord Jesus is the King of the Golden Age, but that we will be royalty in the Golden Age also, and that everyone will be righteous. How about that? It's going to be amazing. You won't have to worry about someone harming you or taking something from you or, you know, doing any evil, because everyone will be righteous. That's what it says. That's what it says. It says that. And all the evildoers will be gone. Anyway, the Lord has planted them for us, for his own glory. These strong people who will do the right thing, and strong people who will be in these positions of leadership. We're seeing it even now with President Trump. We're seeing it with RFK. You know, that they're threading this needle and doing this all in the exact right order. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. Praise the Lord. All these places that all over the world that have been destroyed, they're going to be restored. I'm so thankful for that. Foreigners will be your servants. They'll feed your flocks and plow the fields and tend your vineyards. You'll be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. Priests as in helping others to come to know the Lord. That's really what a priest's job is to help others to connect with the Lord. And that's what our job is going to be. That's what our job is right now, is as we share this wonderful truth, we're helping others to realize the Lord is with us. The Lord loves us, and he is rescuing humanity. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. This is talking about the riches that have been confiscated and stolen by the New World Order. And we will feed on that. We will have those things back to us. The wealth of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. And so a lot of times when it says the word nations, you realize it's talking about the cabal, okay? And it's not talking about nations like what you would think of as Greece and France or whatever. And we will boast in that. Look at what the Lord has given to us. Look at what has been restored to us. Instead of shame and dishonor, you'll enjoy a double share of honor. You'll possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everything, everlasting joy will be yours. This is for everyone throughout the entire world. This is Venezuela after all that they've endured, all that the people of China have endured, all that, you know, just you name it. All the people have endured, and it's all because of the cabal. We thought it was just, oh, well, that's just what happens. There's wars and all that. No, it's all been them that they've caused it. But instead of all this shame and all this dishonor and all this harm, we will have double honor and double prosperity. How about that? Double and everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. An everlasting covenant. This agreement that will never be broken. And so it says here, he hates robbery and wrongdoing. And the last week, the first time we did the first video that we did on the book of Isaiah, reading, I think it was in chapter 60, it talked about that the world, he didn't create the world for chaos, not for all this chaos and crazy, you know, wars and all that. That's not what he created it for. He created it to be a place of peace and wholeness. And that's what we're going to have, and health and just wealth and everything. Wonderful. So this is what he's talking about here. He's going to reward us for all that we have endured. And again, if you go back and you read more of this book, End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets, I go into, you know, what happened in the day. The Minor Prophets were talking about how the people were kicked out of the land because they had gotten involved in Baal worship, because they had evil kings ruling them. And so they had gotten into thinking that that was what they were supposed to do. It sounds outrageous, but that's what they were doing. It was this child sacrifice. And by all accounts, that's what they were doing. And that's why they were cast out of the land and become the scattered tribes. And it's been literally almost 3,000 years. And they were finally having that the restoration of humanity. This chastening period is over. As it says here, I'll reward my people for their suffering. And so we have suffered too much under the cabal. And so the suffering had a purpose, though, which was to draw us to the Lord and to cause us to not ever want to, you know, be participating in anything like this ever, ever, ever. Right. And that's what it has effectively worked in humanity, is that we, you know, by all accounts, recoil at such an evil as that. And so the Lord knows what he has worked in us, in all of humanity, not just America, but all over the world. We're like, no, we're not doing that. We're not allowing that to happen. And because of what we've suffered, we realize that this is, you know, we don't want anyone to suffer. It's too much. It's too horrible. And we have that empathy now as humanity. All right. So verse 10, I'm overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. This is clearly our response. This clothing of salvation, that he has saved us. He came and rescued us. And this is what we're going to say for, you know, 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, if we can go into that super quick, is that there'll be one more final battle, and that's when death will be conquered, and then we'll have heaven on earth. But in the millennial kingdom, there will be death during this time. It won't be heaven yet, but it's a big leap in the right direction. First of all, getting rid of this cabal. All right, so that's verse 10. And then verse 11 is the sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world, and everyone will praise him. Everyone. Now, I've seen some videos out where it talks about, you know, that every knee will bow. And that's true. Every tongue will confess. But I think that the thing is, you know, everyone will recognize that Jesus is the Messiah they were waiting for. If you ever research the world religions, every nation, every world religion has been waiting on a Messiah who will set everything right. And they will realize that Jesus is that one. And everyone will realize also that he did die for our sins as the propitiation for our sins, to wash away our sins, because our sins can't be washed away with anything else but the blood of Christ. And so they'll recognize that. So, you know, I when I don't think it's a matter of that I told you so. You know, it'll be that they recognize that he is the one that they were waiting for and that he has rescued us. He will give everyone this beautiful robe of salvation. He's come to rescue even the ones who've been brainwashed into thinking things that were not true about him. And they'll all recognize him as our Savior. His righteousness will be like a garden in the early spring with plants springing up everywhere. I love the way it says in the WEB, so the Lord Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations, before all the world. Isn't that great? All right, so that our question was, what is the future for humanity according to these verses? Well, it's going to be righteousness all over the world for everyone. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be health and wealth and peace. And just a bridegroom dressed for the wedding. We're going to marry Jesus. Everybody's going to get married to Jesus. And he's going to be our husband who will protect us. And we will be his bride. And exciting days ahead. Okay, so, and the Lord will free, here's the question I have, and the answer that I have in the book. The Lord will free us from our captors and exchange our mourning with joy and praise. Our ruins will be rebuilt. We'll receive a double share of honor and prosperity, and his righteousness and justice will spring up everywhere. Everyone will praise the Lord. Yay! Then let's go. Let's have the golden age now. Can we do that now? Let's do it. It's getting here. It's getting here. Okay, so now the next one is, let me refresh this. This is Isaiah chapter 62. So here's the question for that one. Who could have imagined what a worldwide great awakening would look like? We didn't know what we didn't know, right? We had been, you know, misled, but the revelation, the word revelation is that so many things are being revealed. And so now that so many things have been revealed, we're like, oh, well, of course we know that now, but we didn't know before. And so it says, we just couldn't imagine what we didn't know. Anyway, I've highlighted a few verses from Isaiah 62, verses 1 through 12, but I love them all. Do you think of yourself as one of the watchmen in this passage below? So listen for the verse that talks about us being a watchman. Okay. This is actually the passage that I've been praying for years and years and years. I've been praying Isaiah 62. And so I love this. Someone had read this to us and encouraged us to pray this prayer, you know, daily. And so we were praying this a lot. I don't know if I was doing it daily, but I was doing it a lot. Here, I'll read it to you. Because I love Zion. Again, Zion is the city of God, God's people, wherever you are. I've said this before, it's not about dirt, it's not about a location on a map, it's about you, God's people, wherever you are, Africa, Europe, Canada, wherever you are, America, you know, anywhere you are the city of God. You are Zion. And if you notice, in the movie, The Matrix, they call them Zion. Remember that? They're like, you're free, Zion, you're free. And so it was really very biblical, that movie was. Anyway, because I love God's people, I will not keep silent. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, the city of God, for all of God's people to be blessed, I cannot remain silent. And that's exactly what we've done during this battle. As soon as we've known the truth, we are blasting it out. We cannot be silent. We have to keep fighting for God's house. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn. So much imagery is about the dawn shining. And I've shown you this before. If you look on all my books about end times, I have this dawning. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, right? Remember that old song? It's the dawning that it's just finally coming, right? The sun is finally peeking over the horizon. And so this is this dawn is breaking. But here it says, I won't stop until her righteousness is shining like the dawn. And so that's why in the golden age, I have the sun shining bright. So that's what, you know, the imagery I know that is really, you know, what we're talking about. And the funny thing is, kind of a funny cool, is that President Trump plays that song Nessun Dorma, and it's all about the dawn breaking. There's so much imagery about that. And for the Lord to reveal all these things to us at the breaking of the dawn. If you remember, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, was wrestling with the Lord, and he was wrestling even until the break of dawn. And he, that's when the Lord touched his hip, and it from then on he hobbled on his hip. But his name was changed from Jacob to Israel at that very moment. And he said, because the dawn had broken, and he had seen the Lord. He saw the face of the Lord. It's amazing. So that's, but he lived. And that's why, he was very, very blessed. And so that's what's kind of cool is that that we will see the Lord himself. It's kind of cool because in that book, The Golden Age, I actually at the last chapter, and you can read them in any order you want to. In the last chapter, let me see if I can find this real quick. Here are all the chapters. At the very end, I've got the Golden Age of Christ the King. And in that chapter, I talk about that he will live with us physically. He will dwell with us, and he will be the king of this world. And everyone will know him. Every eye will see him. We will all, it'll be that he will live among us. And I have the different verses that talk about that, very similar to when he was here on his first advent. Now, it's going to be different because he isn't coming to suffer. He's coming to rule. So this is a different thing, but very, very exciting days that we will get to witness. That's why we got to stay well. That's why I keep telling everybody to detox and all that, because you've got to live to see this. It's too cool. You don't want to miss this. We can't die now. We have no time for to die now. We got to be well. And that's why they're trying to kill us off, but we're not going to. Anyway, so it says, until I will not stop praying, I will not stop fighting, I will not stop speaking until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. Just bright, bright, bright until this finally dawns on everybody, right? The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. It'll be so bright. It'll be so obvious that of all the blessings that are going to be poured out on God's people, it'll be shocking. It'll be so amazing and so bright. And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. And here are the verses that talk about the very names that he will give us. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see. A splendid crown in the hand of God. Again, I go back to my little book. This is the crown. This is the crown that we are royalty. That we will wear the crown. No more being a slave, no more being a serf, no more being under their boot. And so very, very exciting. He will hold us in his hand for everyone to say, look at my prized possession. Look at my jewels. These are my precious jewels. He says, never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. How about that? We will be his bride. And I talked about this. Where was that? I don't know. I've talked about so many things. I'm like, when did we talk about this? It says that maybe in Amos, that the Lord will make a covenant with the animals. Is that what it was? Was it Amos? Anyway, the Lord will make a covenant with the animals so that we will have, that they won't touch us. They won't harm us. The earth won't fight against us. And because we will be his bride, we'll be his will be married, and that nobody better touch us. Animals won't hurt us. I mean, nothing will hurt us. Actually, probably in the chapter in the Golden Age book of safety, that there will be no disasters, no tornadoes, no tsunamis. I mean, you name it, won't be any of that. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Again, that's what it talks about on that beautiful song President Trump always plays, Nessun Dorma, because the princess becomes his bride at the end of that song. It's really, really cool. Anyway, your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, for just as a young man commits himself to his bride. We will be married. We will be committed. We'll be joined together in matrimony. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. It's the marriage. This is the wedding. And Revelation chapter 19 talks about the wedding supper. At the wedding supper, it's very interesting because he says, come eat the flesh of kings. This is the wedding supper. It's been destroying our enemies. It's a very interesting wedding. Very interesting wedding, because it's saying that you are my bride, and anyone who's harming you has to be out, 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 out. We're witnessing this. We're witnessing our wedding. It's what it is. It's what it is. Oh, Jerusalem, I've posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. That reminds me of my grandmother. My grandma would always say, I'm praying day and night. I'm praying day and night. That was just one of her things that she would say, I've been praying day and night. Oh, she's something else. Yes, I think she was a watchman on the walls for all of her grandchildren. And so I'm very thankful for her. But I believe we are watchmen on the walls. We are praying day and night until this gets accomplished continually, continually. I know you guys, you are watching my posts and you're sharing them out there. We're having this huge reach. And, you know, a lot of people are kind of surprised at how much we're able to reach because we're all working together. It's really exciting to see. And so millions that we're reaching every day just from our little Telegram channel. And so, and that doesn't even count the other social media. That we are watchmen and we are watching what the Lord is doing and we are sharing whatever the Lord has puts on our hearts to share, the truth that he puts in our hearts. We get it out there as fast as we possibly can and to be to help in this battle. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he accomplishes or completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. Interesting little phrase there that we're not to rest. And I really haven't rested that much during this battle. I've worked every day and I can't think of a day that I haven't posted. Can you? And I know you're the same way. We all feel this compulsion of the Lord to fight, fight, fight. And so, I love how President Trump said fight, fight, fight. And so it says, take no rest, all of us who are part of this battle. The Lord has chosen us for this battle. He says, give the Lord no rest. In other words, he has told us to pray and to fight and to pray and to pray and to fight and to fight and to keep fighting and to be like that importunate woman who is knocking on the door. Lord, we need justice from our enemies. Lord, we can't put up with these enemies who are hurting the children. Lord, we can't put up with these people who are hurting Gaza. We're going to not give you any rest until this has, we need this done. he's telling us to do that, just like he told the importunate woman. And that's what he wants us to do. The importunate prayer is to pray and not to give him any rest until this gets done, that we are working in concert with him because we want this done. We want this earth filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. The Lord has sworn to Jerusalem by his own strength, I will never again hand you over to your enemies. Yay. This is the end of it. No more New World Order, no more cabal, no more Satan worshipers ever. That's the end of it. No more. And he says, I'll never get hand you over to your enemies. He handed us over because we had to be chastened. We had to be chastened. We had to be corrected. Our forefathers were worshiping these idols, and that had to stop. It had to be stopped. It had to be rooted out of us. And it is. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, it's God is dealing with you as with his own children. For what son is there whom the father doesn't chasten? Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. He is chasing us because he wants humanity to be a place of righteousness. And he means it to happen. It will happen. Anyone who is still worshiping demons at this point and doing the bidding of demons will have to leave. They have to go. Goodbye. All right. And they will never be under their boot ever again. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and new wine. They won't confiscate your taxes. They won't confiscate all your hard-earned money and just leave you where you're struggling. No, that's over. You'll raise the grain and you will eat it and you'll praise the Lord. Yes, we will. Within the courts of the temple, you yourselves will drink the wine you yourselves have pressed. You'll get the benefit of your labor. We've been talking about that on that series of the history that we've been talking about, that they have had worked and worked and worked to us, and then they got the benefit of all of our labor. No more. No more of that. That's the end of that. Go through the gates, prepare the highway for my people to return. We just read last week on the chapter 60 of Isaiah, how look, the doves are coming like the ships are coming like doves back to their nests. They're all bringing your children. We're all going to be restored to each other because we'll all awaken and realize we were misled by the evildoers and come out of the brainwashing. Smooth out the road. Pull out the boulders. Don't make it where it's too hard to get through. Just make this path clear. Raise a flag for all the nations to see the Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, your Savior is coming. See, he brings his reward with him. Awesome. I love that. Okay, and then verse 12. They will be called the holy people and the people redeemed by the Lord. Redeemed means ransomed from slavery. When you're redeemed, you can buy a slave out of slavery. When they're redeemed, they are paid for so that they are set free from being a slave. That's what redemption is about. That we, all of humanity, is being redeemed because of our Lord Jesus. We're a people redeemed out of slavery. We were sold into bondage because of Adam and Eve falling into sin. We were translated into the kingdom of darkness. But the Lord Jesus is translating us into his kingdom because of he's redeeming us by his own blood to be into his kingdom. He says, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is his kingdom come. And Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place, not a city forsaken, a city no longer forsaken. We'll no longer be forsaken. We'll have the beautiful city to have to enjoy. Okay, I think that's everything I'm going to do on this chapter, and then the next week I'll do 63, 64, and 65, just a little bit of those. And so keep studying and keep reading them, because the faith comes by hearing. And that's why, you know, my faith is so strong, because I'm in the Word a lot, right? And so the great thing is, the more you're in the Word, the more your faith is built up, and you're confident that this is what's happening in this day. So it's really, it's like, you know, eating your veggies, eating your vitamins to make sure that you get the nutrients that you need for your spirit and your soul. This really helps you to maintain your connection with the Lord and your confidence in him and in his word. So I love it. I'm so glad that we're here together to do this. Okay, so we're going to pray, and then we'll do the last installment of Isaiah, and that'll be the end of End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophets. I loved it. I hope you loved it as much as I did. That we'll do the last chapter next week. Let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you for all these wonderful promises that you have put in your word for us, and that we are your watchmen on the wall, and we will not rest. We will not give you rest until this is done, until all of this is, the righteousness is shining like the sun. And we're just so thankful that we're gonna see this day dawn upon us. Thank you, Lord, that you will save us from our enemies, and we'll have this beautiful, we'll be your bride, and that we'll be a city no longer forsaken. We'll be the beautiful city, and we're just so thankful that we get to be a part of that, and to usher in your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. What an honor it is to fight alongside you and to work for this to happen. And it's no longer going to be a place of chaos. It's going to be a place of joy and beauty and blessing and praise and just everyone having everything that they need. Thank you for that. You've promised all these things in your word, and that we get to look with expectation, great expectation of what you are going to do to save us. Thank you, Lord, that you're rescuing everybody. I thank you for my battalion. I thank you for how you have blessed us so that we are reaching people with the truth. Touch their hearts with the things that we are sharing so that they hear the truth and come out of the brainwashing and really wake up to the joy of what we are witnessing. Give them the eyes to see it and the ears to hear it. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus, the King of this glorious golden age kingdom. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. I'm so glad we came together today to hang out again as usual. And I guess that's it. I will talk to you later.
The stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders